Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start to record. So, basically,
this one, yes. Spiritual. There is an I here?
There's an I between P and R. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the first thing, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, we're recording. The first thing is the Quran inspires you with the love of Allah. That's the first inspiration. And the love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make you give up so many things, haram, because you love Allah. How is the Quran inspiring you with the love of Allah? Allah talks about, I have given you eyes. I have given you ears. I have given you the sun. I have given you the moon. So these are all generic favors or generic gifts for everybody. Another thing is that Allah gives you special thing. You're gifted with talent of engineering. She's gifted with a talent of biology, programming. Everybody's talented with a specific talent. That's a specific favor. Another thing is that someone is born rich. And someone is born poor. Someone is born prince, and someone else is born starving, to starve. You got it, girls? Please. You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So now, if you're born as a prince, some people are born as princes, where they have, and princes, and prince, and princess. Right? And they are having all the fame and money that you and me struggle all our life to get. You got it? So this is, like you say, why? It is a special gift from Allah. Allah, the one who chose. Allah chose to give you the parents you have right now, to be born in the United States, okay, in the first world, to have good life. Allah could have chosen you to be born to a poor family somewhere in the world, Asia or Africa, and then you starve to death, or starve until you become like bone skin. Okay? So Allah gives you special favors. Why is this all? So that you thank Allah. The second thing is that desire to go to Jannah. Strong desire to go to Jannah. Strong desire to go to Jannah. The strong desire to go to Jannah is, like, you know from Quran, Allah tells you a lot of good things about Jannah. When Allah tells you about a lot of good things about Jannah, then what happens? You love Jannah. When you love Jannah, then you have strong desire to go to Jannah. When you have strong desire to go to Jannah, then you give up a lot of things for Jannah. Okay, and then the third thing is strong fear from fire, hell. Strong fear from Allah's punishment. You got it? So, strong fear from Allah's punishment. That you're afraid of that Allah's punishment. You're scared from Allah's punishment. Now, how do you, Allah goes out of the circle of focus whenever you have your own business, like you get involved with your business. Allah goes out of your circle of focus, like you're focusing on something else. Then what would Islam tell us so that we bring Allah back into the circle of focus? Think about it. Right now you're focused about something else. We need to bring your focus back to Allah. Or to Jannah, or to the love of Jannah, or to the fear of hellfire, punishment. How can we do that? Who knows? Who knows? How does the Quran inspire love of Jannah, desire to go to Jannah, and fear of Allah's punishment?
Huh? said it early on because Allah keeps reminding us of all the gifts He's given us.
That's in the Quran. But I'm saying in daily life.
Oh, in daily life?
In daily life, Allah, first of all, in the Quran, inspired you with greed to Jannah by describing Jannah to you. Describing Jannah as beautiful things, as it has wonderful things. And then, at the end, He says, and it has things that you can never imagine. And it has gifts, surprises from me. So Allah says, the things you desire, you get in Jannah. Anything you desire, number one. Number two, you know, you get more than what you desire by getting more than what you can think of. Three, Allah will give you surprises in Jannah. Surprise every day, every hour, a surprise in Jannah. Like surprise, that's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by telling you this, do you love Jannah?
Yes.
Now, by scaring you from hell, Quran scares you from hell, saying the hell has a tree called Zakum. It looks like the heads of the devils. It is it's full of thorns from all directions. You eat it, you feel more hungry. By the time you chew it and swallow it, it injures all your body parts from inside. There's no death in Jannah. And I'm sorry, in hellfire. And then Allah says, and when you go to hell? Hell will burn your skin and flesh, right?
Yep.
Allah says, once they are burned, I replace you with brand new skin and flesh to burn again. So it's not one time burning. Once you finish burning for the first time, you get another skin and flesh. Then you burn for the second time, you get a third round, fourth round, fifth round, eternal rounds of burning and then getting again. So you go through the pain every time. You see that? You go through the pain every round, you go through the pain. And it's really awful pain. So by saying that, you're scared from punishment. So this is how the Quran inspires you with the love of Allah by reminding you of the gifts. Okay? Developing love to Jannah or desire to go to Jannah by describing Jannah to you or part of Jannah. And making you scared from hell by describing part of the punishment in hell. Now, the fuel on the hellfire, is it wood? Huh?
I thought it was just
it lights. Hellfire lights on what? Wood?
I thought it was just the fire itself. I just didn't need the lights on it.
Yeah, but it has to light on something.
Oh.
Huh? No.
Lights on the people
and stones.
Stones?
Yeah. See how awful it is? It doesn't light on wood. Wood is too weak. It lights on stones. Do you imagine? It burns the stones and lights on the stones. It's like lava. It's like lava, isn't it? So, it's like the lava that you get out of the earth. Lava is the volcano that you get out of the earth.
Lava inside of the earth is called magma. When the lava comes out of the earth, it's called lava.
Okay? Don't take me out of your circle of focus now. You have a lot. Just now keep me in the circle of focus, like to learn things. So now, what is the... How do Islam do to me to keep Allah's circle of focus? Let me give you an example. If you're sent to a college, let's say... You're sent to a college in Illinois, for example, or Indiana, private college, away from your parents. And then your father has to pay you money, right? To live. Am I right?
No.
You need money when you live there. So who sends you the money?
Your job.
Your parents. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's not enough. Never enough. So, yeah, unless you have a fellowship or something like that. But let's say you don't have a fellowship. Who sends you your expenses and the money for college? Is your parents, right?
No.
Let's say it's your parents. Let's say it's your parents, right? Okay. Now, they send you the check for the month of, let's say, August. What do you do when you get the check?
Yeah.
What do you do? You go and, huh?
Eat it.
Yes, that's tuition. But how about like the allowance that we bank check? What do you do with it?
Go to the bank.
You go to the bank, right? Yeah, you go to the bank and deposit the money. And then what do you do after that? After you go to the bank and deposit the money?
You use your debit card to go to the mall.
Yes, but what else? What is the second thing you want to do when you receive the check?
Pay for your
meet One Direction.
No, you call who?
No.
You call who and thank you?
Parents.
You call your parents and thank them, right?
Yeah,
what if you don't do that?
You call them.
Then you say,
what if you don't? No, what if you don't call your parents and say thank you for the check?
Then you let them come with you to the One Direction concert.
No, would you be a good kid or a bad kid?
Oh, yeah, you can just send them some money.
Would you be a bad kid or a good kid?
A bad kid.
Why? Because you cash the check and you don't even bother calling your parents and say
thank you.
Daddy, thank you, Mommy,
Daddy.
For the check.
What if you're
you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now imagine that your dad is going to call you. Your dad sends you the check for August.
Oh, God, no.
Your dad sends you the check for August.
Where's the TA guy?
Your dad sends you... Please, focus with me. Please, put me in your circle if you're focused. I mean, like, I should be here in the circle of your focus. Focus with me to learn. So, now, what happens if you get the check and you don't call your parents to say thank you for the check? Then you are a good kid or a bad kid?
Bad.
You're a bad kid, right? Yes. Now, you're not thankful to them. Now, imagine that your parents are going to call you and say, hey, how come you got the check, you cashed the check and didn't call us back to say thank you, Daddy, thank you, Mommy? How come you're doing that? You don't care to go pick up the phone and say thanks, Mommy, thanks, Daddy? Now imagine that you say, Daddy, Mommy, I saw the mail person coming into my apartment, knocking on the door and giving me the check. So I thanked the mail person. What's wrong with that?
It's informal.
Well, because the mailman just did his job.
Perfect! But you say, Papa, Mama, I didn't see you physically bringing the check to me. I saw who?
He just
I saw the mail person giving me the check. So I called the mail person, I thanked the mail person, I have a lot of gratitude to the mail person. What is so stupid about that? Okay. Now, the mail person is the physical mean through which Allah will give you a check, right? So this is exactly what people do. People thank other than Allah. People thank the mail person. So it's like thanking the mail person, right? So if you don't, like for example, if you get your money from your job, the check is coming from, or the money is coming from where?
The manager.
From Allah.
Oh.
Through your employer. Huh? Through your employer. If you work, the money is coming from where? From Allah through your work. You got this? Is very important. The money is from Allah. Given to you through your whatever X. It's not the money is not coming from X. Okay? The money is not coming from X. The money is coming from Allah. Do you see Allah giving you the money? No. Just like you don't see your parents writing the check. Okay? So, the mail person is the mean. The mean. Through which you send the check. Let's go ahead. Okay? So, the mail person is a mean. Right? A way to send you the check. Because Allah said, in order to earn money, you have to do something that gives you the money. Working, trading, do this, do that. Got it? So keep in mind that when you are a parent and your kid says, Daddy, I don't have to thank you, I thank the male person. And you get mad, you tell them, you are not a good kid. I write you the check. I send it to you. It's my money. And you thank the male person? You say, Daddy, but all what I see is the male person giving me the check. Yes, yes, that's true. But who's behind the male person? Who covers the male person? Who covers daddy and mommy? The male person. So, but the male person is what you see in front of you. But behind the male person is what? Daddy and mommy. Same thing here. The money is from Allah. The money is from who? Where? Allah. Given to you through parents, through work, through gifts, through scholarship. Is given to you through something. You got it? So now, this is exactly what we do during prayer. We pray 5 times a day to say what? Thank you to Allah. For what? For the supplies He gave to me.
What supplies? Oh dear Lord.
Okay, life, money, health, happiness. There's a lot of supplies. Allah, basically, all the supplies that you're getting is from Allah. Clothing. Now, don't say, I got my clothes from the store, and that's it. Yeah, you might say that, but in your heart, you know that you got your clothes from Allah through the store. You got your clothes from Allah through the store, because Allah is the supplier. Who's the supplier? Allah. So, you got your car from the dealer? No. You got your car from Allah through the dealer. You got it? You got your car from Allah through the dealer. Okay? You got your check from Allah through your parents or through the male person. Do you understand this concept? Because it's very important to understand that the supplier is Allah. The supplier is Allah. Please, keep me in the circle of focus now. Just a few minutes left. Yeah. Got it? Now, imagine this. Imagine this. Imagine your kid, you're the parent, you're sending your kid a check. He doesn't call you to say thank you, daddy, thank you, mommy. But when you call that your kid, your kid says, who are you? Your kid would say, who are you? Just imagine this. Your kid would say, who are you? What? Who am I? I'm your dad. I'm your mom. No, you're not. I don't have a dad and mom. You don't have a dad and mom? Then where did you come from? Oh, I was a monkey and then I grew up to be a human. Don't you know people say that? Do you know people who are saying that? Kidding? The people who say we're from monkeys. You guys?
Okay.
That is the example. This is the example of people denying the parents. Denying the parents. They say the supplier is the male person. The supplier is the male person. The supplier is who?
The male person.
The male person, right? Yes, the male person is the supplier. And daddy and mommy don't exist. Where did you come from? You were a monkey and you developed into a human by coincidence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains from that. Allah is complaining in a hadith from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I supply and you guys thank somebody else. This is the hadith from Allah. Allah says, I supply and you guys thank somebody else. Then Allah says, I provide and you thank someone else. I supply and you thank someone else. I create and you worship somebody else. I create and you worship what?
Somebody else.
Who deserves the worship? The one who created you. Who deserves their worship and the love is the one who supplies to you. You think that you're being supplied from your work? You're wrong. You're supplied from Allah through your work. Got it. MashaAllah. That's very good. That's very good. You're protected for... Your protection is coming from Allah through? Through? Your protection.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, through the police, for example. All right? Or from your rights. But you got the point here. You got it very clear? Okay. So now remember that. Now, when we go into our daily, if I draw a curve that shows the circle, the remembrance of Allah, do you guys know what the remembrance of Allah is? Did you ever feel it? Is that right? Spelling? Okay. So, do you guys know what remembrance of Allah is? I'm just wondering if you were with time, remembrance of Allah with time, if you ever felt that Allah is close to you. Did you ever feel that Allah is in your circle of focus? Like thinking about Him and the thoughts are touching your heart, perhaps your eyes will have tears on them because you felt the presence of Allah. Yes, maybe because you're too young for that, but there will be a point of your life that you're going to cry, a crisis, where you're going to cry. Allah will send you a crisis to remind you. Allah will send you a crisis to remind you to pray to Him. To pray. Allah will send
you...
That's
why we cry?
No, you cry because you remember after He gives, after He saves you. Then you cry out of... You feel very thankful to Him and you cry.
No.
So many things in life that go wrong that makes you... Ya Allah, Ya Allah. That's called remembrance of Allah. The highest level of remembrance of Allah when you are asking Allah. And you're really asking Allah with a heart suffering from pain. Like you have your child in the hospital, he's dying, or she's dying. And then you want that to be saved. So you say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please Ya Allah, Ya Allah. The remembrance of Allah, don't laugh, it happens. The remembrance of Allah becomes the maximum in your heart. Like when you do that, Allah is filling up all your circle of focus. Ya Allah, save me, save my child. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. I will never stop thanking you. I'll never, you keep saying that promises.
No smile.
When Allah wants to hear your voice means hear you praying for Him. Allah gives you a hardship. So when you get into the hardship, you seek help from who? Allah. You remember that you're a Muslim, and there is Allah in your religion. There's Allah, His God, and you ask Him. So now the prayers work like that. When you wake up from sleep, wake up. You have been dreaming. You have the remembrance of Allah in your heart is almost like very little, like this. Then when you pray Fajr, what happens? Then you go to this, here, after Fajr. So you pray Fajr, supposed to pray Fajr right. Like when you are in the prayer, you're not thinking about something else. You're thinking about who? Allah. So then the remembrance of Allah goes up. Then you go to work. Go to work, the remembrance of Allah goes up. Then it goes down. Then it goes up again by Zuhr prayer. Then it goes down again, then it goes, sorry, goes down again and then goes up. Asr. So forth. So basically, the five times daily prayers are intended to allocate. Yes. We want to take 5 minutes of your time, please. Can I take 5 minutes of your time? You're going to think about nothing but Allah. Think about Allah. How do you think about Allah? How do you think about Allah? You think about how gifted you are. That you have a lot of things that no other people are saying. I have a slide presentation showing people that are suffering around the world. The shoes are made of Pepsi or like soda bottles. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. When you see those pictures, you will cry. When you look at these pictures, you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah did not make me like that. You really appreciate it. So always, when you visit the graves, like where they bury the people, the graves, and you look at the dead people, you remember that you say, Alhamdulillah, I still have time to go. I'm not dead yet. And so forth. The bottom line here, the focus, the circle of focus. The circle of focus, it has Allah. And then, whether you like it or not, Allah goes out. Allah goes out. So you're focusing now on what? On your class, right? I mean, assume. You're focused on your class, right? Right, Zina? You're focusing on your class. Then, where Allah goes outside of the circle of focus? Where? Allah keeps stepping away from your focus, circle of focus. Until what time comes? Zuhr time comes. Then you go pray. So praying, assuming that you've done the prayer right, then Allah comes back into your circle of focus. Because you're praying to who? To Allah, right? Just a simple question. I'm going to pray. Pray to who? To Allah. Pray to, so that the teacher doesn't punish me? Nah. No, that's not true. So you pray for Allah. You got it here? You got how the prayer works? The prayer is a phone call to Allah to say is what? Thank you for what? For the gifts. What number do you dial when you call Allah? You call? 244434. How did I bring that? What is this number? 244434. Your prayer is exactly. Two rak'ahs for Fajr. She's so smart, mashallah. Your prayers. Okay? Let me tell you a joke about that and we conclude with this joke. You know, there was a journalist, Western journalist, who is visiting masjids around the world and seeing the differences between them. So he goes to the masjid in Japan. He enters the masjid. He finds a big column, fancy column, and under this column there is a table with a fancy phone. And the sign there says, call Allah. Pay $5,000 and call Allah and ask for whatever you want. Put $5,000 in this box, call Allah this phone, ask whatever you want. So he took a picture, and then he went to a masjid in China. Then he found the same thing, the column, the box, the phone, and says, okay, put $5,000 and call Allah. Then, surprisingly, he went to Pakistan. He found the same box, the same column, and the same phone, but it says, pay 5 cents. To call Allah and ask for what you want. So he got the guy who's, you know, who's taking care of the masjid asking, hold on. Why is everywhere $500 and here in Pakistan it is 5 cents? So the guy said, it's because it's local gold, sir. It's a local gold. Because God is in Pakistan. Just a kidding. Cool. You will understand the joke like 24 hours after that.
Okay, not that
funny. All right. Salaam alaikum.